This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's get right to it before we get to the hits. I was thinking this earlier today. The Chiefs are fighting, I would say, two very difficult things to beat. Number one, they are in a race against time. Now, I know that not all of you are maybe on the same page with me about Travis Kelce and where he is physically, but I think we would all agree that we are in the last couple of acts of Travis Kelce's career. And you are hoping that there are one or two great postseasons left with Travis Kelce. We can go through some of the great wide receivers over the course of the last 5-10 years. Their career usually falls off about where DeAndre Hopkins is. He's 32 years old. He'll be 33 years old heading into next season. I mean, Randy Moss retired at 34 years old. Like, DeAndre Hopkins does not have a 3-year contract left in him. It's this run with Kansas City, maybe another one next year, and that's kind of it. A guy like Kareem Hunt, a guy who was just outside the league a couple of weeks ago, he has come back and he has gotten off to an incredible start. It feels like they are somewhat in a race against time and sort of hoping that, hey, we can get all of these things to come together for one more special run this offseason to do something that no one has ever done before. I looked this up because I was really curious today, and Rob and I were earlier arguing about whether or not DeAndre Hopkins should go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So Hopkins has made first-team All-Pro 3 times. These are the wide receivers that he's made it with over the course of his career. So the first time that he made it, and it was Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Adam Thielen. Those were the other receivers. Those guys are out of the league now, other than Adam Thielen. And Adam Thielen, we would agree, is clearly in his last either season or season and a half in the National Football League. The next year that DeAndre Hopkins made All-Pro was in 2018. That was DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, and that was Tyreek Hill's first year of making it back when he was in Kansas City. I bring that up because a lot of the guys who you would say are DeAndre Hopkins contemporaries, and those guys are out of the league now at this point. Like, he is sort of in a very, very unique crop of players that, hey, man, you've been doing this for a long time, and you've been doing this at a really high level. He's in the same draft class as Eric Fisher. He's in the same draft class as Tavon Austin, who was a top 10 pick. Cordarrelle Patterson was in that draft class. Robert Woods, Keenan Allen is in that draft class. He feels like a guy who is heading towards the end of his career. So on one side of the coin, it feels like the Chiefs are in a race against time, and we will see if they can win or not. We say that Father Time is undefeated. Father Time is coming for DeAndre Hopkins. Father Time is coming for a running back who is getting close to 30 years old in Kareem Hunt. Father Time is coming for Travis Kelce. Can they continue to stay in front of it? And you really just need DeAndre Hopkins to hold up for the next 3 months. I'm guessing that many of you don't care what happens next year with DeAndre Hopkins. He helps you win this championship. He gets the three-peat. He gets to stand up on the stage in front of Union Station. And DeAndre Hopkins can announce that he is retired. He served his purpose for Kansas City. I imagine many of you feel the same way about Travis Kelce at the end of this year. You go out with the three-peat and you're dating the most famous woman in the world. If that's the way that you go out, hey, my brother, you had a fantastic career. We will see you in 5 years in Canton. You can come back whenever you want and bang the drum. The Chiefs are hoping that they have one more special run out of those three players. Can you get one more special run from Kareem Hunt? And can he hold up till Isaiah Pacheco comes back? And can he continue to be a very valuable short yardage, catch the ball out of the backfield player for you the rest of the way? Can DeAndre Hopkins hold up for the rest of the year with his knee injury? And can he continue to beat Father Time? And can you get one more special run out of Travis Kelce like he had last year? Travis Kelce's postseason last year, you'll take that. Maybe he has 700 yards receiving this year. Maybe he has 750 yards. You guys don't seem too concerned with how many yards he gets from August up until January 1. Hey, man, once 2025 gets here and we start playing postseason games against the Colts or against the Ravens or against whomever our first matchup is going to be, that's when you expect to see the real Travis Kelce. And does he have one more incredible postseason run, as he is one of the greatest postseason players that we've ever seen? The other race that the Chiefs are up against is history. History tells you this is not going to work. That's what history says. No team that has ever gone back-to-back has even gone to the Super Bowl before, let alone win three in a row. No team has ever had the chance of getting back to the Super Bowl. History tells you this is going to fail. But the beautiful thing about history is someone had to be the first to do anything. I'm sure at one point people thought that going to the moon was crazy. No chance you can go to the moon. People eventually did it. People thought you would never find the Titanic. Someone eventually found it. It took them a long time, but eventually they found where the Titanic was, and people have gone down there and seen it. Eventually, someone climbed Mount Everest. No way you could climb that mountain before. People have done it. They failed. I'm not going to fail. Someone did it. Those are the two races that the Chiefs are up against. They're in a race against time. Their best pass catcher is 32 years old, and I'm sorry, he is declining before our eyes. He is. We've watched Travis Kelce for over a decade now. He's not the same player. You know it. He's declining right before us, and you're hoping that that decline doesn't happen rapidly over the course of the next 4 months. DeAndre Hopkins, he is currently playing with a knee injury. You are hoping that that knee can hold up just for one more time. Can it hold up for 4 more months? You need DeAndre Hopkins to work until February. That's it. You don't need him to be on next year's team. He is not here to be the fix for the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs, and you can start to plan for what life is going to be like after that. But for right now, you got to figure out a way to get through the next 14 weeks of the NFL. And this is, I'm going to guess, for the most part, this is the crew. You might get Hollywood Brown back. Maybe they make another move, but this is it. And you're going to get Isaiah Pacheco back, and you'll see, and you'll lose some guys along the way because that's how football works. But 95% of the Chiefs are currently on the team right now. This is it. This is the group. This is your defense. This is your, you know, the team at this point. Can the Chiefs win the race against time and with these declining, aging players? And can the Chiefs do something that no one has ever done before? Can they be the first to say, we don't care that the Cowboys couldn't do it, or the Patriots couldn't do it, or San Francisco or Pittsburgh back in the 70s. We were the first to do it. And if you're looking at the AFC right now, if you're not picking Kansas City, you got to tell me who you were picking, because the team you were going to pick, Kansas City's beat them and beat them recently. Everybody loves Baltimore right now. Kansas City beat Baltimore earlier this year. And if Baltimore has to play Kansas City again, I'm guessing it's going to be in Kansas City. I don't think that the Chiefs are going on the road to play any of these teams in the AFC this year. I don't see a scenario in which this team wins less than 13 games. Maybe something significant happens between now and then, but you show me more than 4 losses left on their schedule. I don't see it. I don't see this team finishing 11-6 in any capacity. This is a 13-4, and that might be on the low end. This might be a 14-3, 15-2 team. Just looking at their defense, looking at the rest of their schedule, and looking at the rest of the AFC and who they got left, I don't see too many of these other teams beating Kansas City. So Baltimore, you're going to have your chance to take your best shot again. You're going to have to do so in Kansas City. Buffalo will get another opportunity. You're going to have to go on the road and do it. And at least those teams, someone has done it before. Those teams just, they have not had success in January in Kansas City, and certainly not Baltimore. They haven't had success in January against anybody. All right, Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day.
It's 5 o'clock. and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home, might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C.Dot and Rob. This is The Hits. Number one.
The Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Can I take hit number one, please?
Please do.
Can I take hit number one? Maybe I'm the only one that even cares about this, and I can live with that if that's the case. Sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself sometimes. We all acknowledge that the Sky Moore thing's a little suspicious, right? Now, I know what I said earlier this week about Deshaun Watson, but I trust you that those feelings are solely directed towards Deshaun Watson. I don't feel that way about any other injured player in the National Football League. This one just doesn't pass the smell test. This is why, Rob. Fade the music down a little bit. This is why. This one doesn't tell me if it makes sense. It makes sense to me. You're telling me Sky Moore has never been on the injury report at any point this season. Never. Not one time. Never been on the injury report. You are then telling me that he, yesterday, practiced in full with the Chiefs, did all the drills, and now today he's out for the next 6 weeks, he's having surgery? I don't know, man. Something's a little suspicious there. This is what I think happened. This is just my hypothesis. This is what I think happened. I think Sky Moore was doing something in the team facility. I think he was talking or getting treatment or whatever it was, and I think Brett Veach was like, hey, I need to talk to you for a little bit. Yeah, man, whatever you need. I think he went up to him, and I think he said, you know, there's been some changes around here. Yeah, man, I saw it on TV. Man, I saw you guys got D-Hop, man. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to learn from him. I'm excited to, you know, be around him, man. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He was my favorite receivers growing up. Well, about that, we might need that roster spot. You know, I tried to make the numbers work. I really tried. I did my best, but I don't know if the numbers are going to work. And I think D-Hop's going to need that spot. Well, are you guys letting me go? No, we're not going to let you go. Sky, we like you. You're great in the locker room. You're a great guy. We still got hope for you. We have to come up with something different. Well, you know, I have been, you know, dealing with this little. That's it. Don't tell me nothing else. We'll schedule tomorrow, whatever you need. We'll get you healthy. We'll get you back for the stretch run. But right now, we need that roster spot. That's what I think happened. And then, after Sky Moore walked away from this conversation with Brett Veach, I think he went to go get Justin Ross. And I think he went up to Justin Ross and Brett Veach, and I think they started talking about, hey, you know, how's it been going? Hey, man, how's things going? How's the kids? How's the family? Yeah, good, good. Well, you know, D-Hop wears number 10, but that's Isaiah Pacheco's number. So, you know, we're trying to figure out what number he wants to wear. And he said that he wants to wear number 8. And Justin Ross was like, well, I wear number 8. I don't know about that. You don't wear number 8 anymore. We've given someone else that number. Well, what number am I going to wear? I don't know what number you're going to wear. These are the available numbers that we have. You can take any of those numbers. But 8 means something to me. I love Kobe Bryant. I got a new 8 little diamond necklace, a little chain. I don't know what to tell you, son. You still want to keep working here? Yeah, of course. I love being here. Well, you got to switch to another number. So today they gave Justin Ross 82, and they gave D-Hop number 8. And Sky Moore, he's hurt. Now, I don't know how long Sky Moore is going to be out. They say this is a 4 to 6 week injury. We'll see if he comes back. Good as new, healthy. Certainly hope the surgery goes well for him. But it's just a little suspicious, Rob. It's a little suspicious that he was fully healthy this whole time, and now they bring in a new receiver, and now he's hurt.
Number 2.
Speaking of bringing in new receivers, Carrington, the Chiefs have one official. DeAndre Hopkins is, in fact, a Kansas City Chief. He even practiced today. There's video on the internet if you want to go look at it, wearing that aforementioned number 8. Carrington, you laid it out perfectly earlier today. You said there are 3 people that are the key to success for DeAndre Hopkins. And if those 3 people let him down, he will not be successful. But if those 3 do their jobs, DeAndre Hopkins' time in Kansas City will be a wild success.
All right, you know what? This can be the end of the hits, and then I'm sure we'll figure out something to do between now and then. All right, I thank you. All right. There are 3 people that have to make this thing work between now and the end of the season. Let's talk about them. Let's start with number 1 here. Number 1 is Andy Reid. This is why Andy Reid is number 1. I'm sure you have heard, and someone like me has told you over the course of the last decade or so about how tough Andy Reid's offense is and how nobody can just instantly pop down, pop into this offense and have a lot of success. I'm sure you've heard that before, how long it takes for you to learn the system and how difficult and how challenging it is. I don't care about any of that. DeAndre Hopkins has worked with different quarterbacks, different coaches, different offensive coordinators, different philosophies, different systems. That man was drafted in 2013. He has seen a lot in this league and had success at almost every single stop. He needs to have success at this one. So, Andy, I don't know how you are going to do it in this difficult, complicated, no one can understand it in the first 6 months offense. There's not going to be a second year of DeAndre Hopkins. There's going to be 6 months of D-Hop on this team. You need to figure out a way to make it work. So I don't know if that means he has to stay after class. I don't know if that means that D-Hop needs a tutor. I don't know if you got to give him some take-home tests. I don't know what you need to do to get D-Hop up to speed, but you need to figure it out. And you got time to do it. You know the beautiful thing about being 6-0 and about being in the division that the Chiefs are in where none of the other teams can catch you and none of the other teams are going to win 12 or 13 games is you have time to figure it out. I don't care what D-Hop does this week. I don't care about your parlays. I don't care about any of that. I don't care what D-Hop does. I really don't. I don't care what D-Hop does next week. But at some point, you have to figure out a way to get him integrated into this offense and figure out what the best role for him is going to be. And I understand that that's going to take some time. I don't think you just magically pop up on a team on Thursday and practice for the first time. And then you go out there and you have 8 catches for 125 yards. I don't think football works that way. But I think everyone would agree the Chiefs are going to desperately need DeAndre Hopkins at some point over the course of the next 3 months. They're going to need him for something. It's going to be 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-6. Pat's going to need somebody to run the correct route. He's going to have to make a tough catch. You're going to need help in the red zone. That's why you went to go get him. It is your job to get him ready for that moment and for that responsibility and to do everything you can to get him and his quarterback onto the same page. That's on Andy Reid. I'm not putting that on Matt Nagy. I'm not putting that on their wide receiver coach. I'm putting that on the head coach, the guy who was eventually going into Canton as one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time and an offensive mastermind. That's on Andy. Now, this is the responsibility of Brett Veach. I would say that Brett Veach, he has the easiest job out of the three. He has had 3 crises over the course of his time being the GM for the Kansas City Chiefs. The first crisis was in 2018. Their defense was bad. Patrick Mahomes should probably have an extra Super Bowl if their defense was just okay. You guys remember the conversations going into Patrick Mahomes' second year as a starter. You guys didn't want their defense or need their defense to be where it is right now. You wanted their defense to be like 17th in the NFL. And if they just had a regular, schmegular defense, you know what? We could win the Super Bowl. You know what he did that offseason? They went out and they got Tyrann Mathieu. You know what they did that offseason? They went out and they got Frank Clark. He radically changed the defense in 6 months. So much to the point that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl the next year. Congratulations. He then had a second crisis. And crisis number 2, their offensive line, it was bad. I mean, you guys saw the Super Bowl. I don't like bringing it up, but it was bad. It wasn't good. So you know what he did that offseason? They traded for Orlando Brown Jr. They signed Joe Tooney. They got Creed Humphrey. They got Trey Smith. They got 4 new offensive linemen. They were out here just buying up everything. You know what? It worked. They won the Super Bowl. They've been to the Super Bowl with that same offensive line. Worked out great. Congratulations. They have another crisis. They don't have a lot of wide receiver help. Now, I know we like to play this game with Patrick where we're not going to give you any help and see if you can still win the Super Bowl. That's not a fun game to me. They didn't really have anybody for him to throw the ball to. They had to go do something about it. And now why I say he has the easiest job out of the three is he has 100% confidence and trust that you guys will ride with whatever decision he makes over the course of the next 2 weeks. Let's say that Brett Veach makes the decision to trade a 6th-round pick and go get Darius Slayton. You guys will be 100% behind that situation, and you should. Let's say that Brett Veach decides that they are good and that they're not going to go get a wide receiver. You also are going to ride with Brett Veach. That's a great spot to be in. That's a spot you get to be in when you've had the level of success that you've had that people trust that your way works. We know people like that. Hey, I don't know, but you know what, man? Based on your track record, I'm going to go with it because it's probably going to work out. We all have that friend. Brett Veach is that friend. Hey, I don't know if having Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, and you know what? But hey, you guys made it work before, so I'm going to go with it. So whatever decision Brett Veach makes, he will have the full backing of everybody in that building and the fan base. We'll see if you're right. Their wide receiver room is looking kind of skimpy right now to me. It's looking kind of meager, even with D-Hop. But you get back Hollywood Brown later in the year. Maybe you make a pick swap. Maybe you pick up somebody else. Maybe Xavier Worthy develops over the course of the next couple of months. And you know what? You got a pretty productive room. So, Brett Veach, that's your responsibility. Hey, whatever you decide over the course of the next couple of weeks, I'm cool with it. I'm a ride with you, and it is probably going to work because things always work for you. Now, the last thing here, and this is about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, he got a really good thing going too. And this is also, this is the, if you've been the best for as long as he's been the best, you get leeway. I gave you guys the example with Steph Curry. I know you guys maybe didn't watch the Olympic basketball, but Steph shot the ball really poorly for the first four or five games until he didn't, and then he was incredible. Then he was Steph Curry. Patrick Mahomes has not played well. I'm not telling you something you don't know. Now, if you don't care about the numbers, that's perfectly fine, but let me tell you that right now, Patrick Mahomes is 16th in the NFL in passing yards. Let me tell you that quarterback rating, Patrick Mahomes is 23rd in the NFL in passing yards. Yards per attempt, he is 14th this year in the league. In interceptions, he is first in the league. In touchdowns, he is outside the top 20 in touchdown passes thrown so far this year. There are not many numbers that will tell you that Patrick is playing well so far this season. He has to play better. That simple. He's got to play better. He did last year in the postseason. They had a turnover problem last year in the regular season, too. They fixed that turnover problem for the postseason, and that is a major reason of why they won. This team, at least in the short term, needs to continue to lean into what they are. You know what they are? They are a run the football. Our quarterback will make the necessary plays when it's time to, and we're going to play incredible defense, and we're going to beat you. That's what they are right now. Maybe they're not that in January. Maybe they're not that heading to the Super Bowl. But right now, their best hope to win is Patrick limiting mistakes, Kareem Hunt running the football 15 or more times, and their defense continue to stop everything that is in its path. That's how this team continues to win. So those are your three most important people down the stretch. Andy Reid, the head coach, the general manager, about what decisions you're going to make between now and the deadline, and if you're going to continue to make another move, and your quarterback needs to play better. He has not been good so far this year. This version of Patrick Mahomes, you cannot win the Super Bowl with. You can with the one that played last year in the postseason, and there obviously is still time to turn things around with Patrick Mahomes. But you can't continue to turn, you can't turn the ball over every game and expect that at some point you don't trip up against good teams. And right now, their biggest turnover problem comes from their quarterback. It is not Carson Steele fumbles. It's not any of that. Their biggest problem right now is their quarterback throwing interceptions. And eventually, that's something you're going to have to clean up. So that is the responsibility from those three individuals. And just given their track record, they will probably figure it out because that is all the Chiefs have done for the last 7 years. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the show. I want to play for you guys some of the national conversation around the trade to bring in DeAndre Hopkins. Here is Stephen A. Smith earlier today on First Take.
I think that when you look at the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and what he brings to the table, combined with the fact that what he's been working with, obviously Rice is out. We all know that Pacheco has been out. You know, you have even from last year when they were dropping passes, this year you just got guys that ain't getting open with the level of regularity we're accustomed to seeing. DeAndre Hopkins, some would argue his best days may be behind him, but he's still a big-time receiver. Make no mistake about it, he's still somebody that you can rely upon. And if you have a reliable weapon to help you move the chains and your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes as opposed to Will Levis or somebody like that, guess what? Or Mason Rudolph, you're in a pretty damn good situation if you're DeAndre Hopkins. So I look at it from that standpoint, and I say – you look at his talent along with what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table, along with the Chiefs having an elite defense with Andy Reid calling plays on offense, with Spagnuolo handling the defense. I think this definitely puts them over the hump. I would have said the Baltimore Ravens before this move, but in light of DeAndre Hopkins arriving, I definitely think you could look at Kansas City in this regard as a favorite.
I don't know why everybody is so high on Baltimore right now. My theory would be there is nothing that moves the national media more than when a team plays well on one of those standalone primetime games. There's nothing that moves the NFL conversation more. You got to think about it. For the most part on Sunday, your team's attention is divided. Everybody's team is playing at that time. And people watch certainly around the league, and you watch Red Zone, but it's different when it happens on Monday Night Football. There's no other NFL distraction, and you are just watching this one team. And Baltimore looked really good in that game. Baltimore lost to Las Vegas earlier this year. They lost to Kansas City. I don't know why we're doing this thing with Baltimore. Baltimore is a good team. But I told you guys this earlier in the week, man. Talk to me about the Ravens when there's no leaves outside. Because nothing they do right now matters to me at this point. I've seen them do this before. They've done this before. I don't care about any of this. I don't care about how Buffalo looks right now. I don't care about how Lamar looks right now. Give one of them the MVP, whatever it is. Get back to me when it's cold outside, when there's snow on the ground, there's no leaves on the trees, and then we'll see the real version of the Baltimore Ravens, and we'll see if this year is going to be different than what it's been these last couple of seasons. So that was Stephen A's take on DeAndre Hopkins. Here's Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Take it easy, and welcome back, Molly.
Thank you.
Take it easy. He's not Otis Taylor, Steve. Look at him.
Oh.
I mean, my goodness. Listen, I like Hopkins, but he's been on four teams in the last, two, 3 years, Jeff? He's on Houston, he went to Arizona, and then he went to Tennessee. Mm. He's an excellent receiver, and I think it does make him a little better. But to sit there now and say unequivocally they're going to now defend their Super Bowl, that's a little strong. Ravens have played really well. Ravens could have won that first game of the year easy. And the Chiefs scored 27 points that day, so it wasn't a case of their offense. Scored plenty. He's a very good player. I actually think it's a move to counteract what Buffalo did with Amari Cooper. I think they did that. You know, they got a deal with Cooper. They play him in the regular season. You know, they get Cooper. We're going to put a check on a check. We'll go out there and we'll get Hopkins. He's good. He can't hurt. But I am not going to sit there and say all of a sudden now would we see them. They were going to probably go to New Orleans anyway. So the idea that they're the Super Bowl favorite by far because of Hopkins, I don't buy.
I don't think the Chiefs made the move as an answer towards Buffalo and Amari Cooper. I don't think you carry it that way when you're the two-time defending Super Bowl champion, when you're in the middle of a dynasty. I don't know if you are making reactionary moves because of what other teams are doing or what other teams have done. I think you sort of march by the beat of your own drum. I think Kansas City made the DeAndre Hopkins trade is because they don't have a lot of wide receivers right now. I think they are a wide receiver needy team. And when you've had the amount of injuries that they've had, I mean, over the course of this season, the Chiefs have lost their number one, number two, and number four wide receiver. Who are you replacing them with? They obviously are not replacing that player with Justin Ross. They're not replacing that player with Nico Remigio or any of those guys that you have thrown out there over the course of the last couple of weeks. Hunter Renfro is not coming to this team and is not joining this roster. You had to do something at the position. You needed somebody who could run a crisp route on third and seven, could get open and make a tough catch, and that is what you got with DeAndre Hopkins, and you got him at a very, very fair and reasonable price. So I don't think that the DeAndre Hopkins trade is in response to anything that any other team in the league is doing. I think the Chiefs just needed it, and I think that's what they accomplished. I think that's what they went out. I think that's what they did, and I think it makes a lot of sense why Kansas City did what they did. I want to play one more cut for you guys here very quickly. This is Patrick Mahomes. Here he is talking about the time that it takes to get a wide receiver acclimated to the offense.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting with the coaches. I think our coaches do a great job of getting guys up to speed, and you've seen that throughout this year already. Bringing in guys, getting them up to speed fast, and then letting them go out there and make impact and do what they're great at. And so that's stuff that I think the coaches really do well. And then at me as a quarterback, I just try to be on the same page with the guys that are in there whenever I'm taking a snap.
That is going to be something to track over the course of the next couple of weeks of what the usage is going to look like, what the snap count is going to look like for DeAndre Hopkins, and when do you think he kind of hits a stride. We made the comparison yesterday to Odell Beckham in his time with the Los Angeles Rams. If that's what you're getting from D-Hop, great. It's also going to take a little bit of time. I mean, it took Odell a couple of weeks to kind of get going, and he was a guy that really started to hit his stride once the Rams went to the postseason that year. He had a really, really strong year to close things out for the Los Angeles Rams, but it took a little bit. You remember there was a lot of conversation about him when he first left Cleveland, and you know he had a couple of meager weeks when he was there, but he eventually got his footing. He had a phenomenal end to the season and was a big part of that Rams team and why they ended up winning the Super Bowl. You're certainly hoping to get the same from D-Hop. I have one thought, speaking of the Rams, about Thursday Night Football. If the Rams win this, they probably still trade Cooper Kupp, but if they lose, it is undeniable to me. You don't usually put trade rumors kind of back in the tube. What I think is happening tonight is I think this is a showcase. Cooper Kupp is back. He's healthy, and he's the same receiver that we've had that you've seen over the course of the last couple of years. I think this is a normal Cooper Kupp day. He gets a bunch of targets, gets a bunch of opportunities. He has a good game. And then over the course of the next 10 days is now you have this extended period. Cooper Kupp is getting traded. Now, I don't know where he's going. Maybe he's going to Pittsburgh. Maybe he's going to New Orleans. Whatever team is willing to pony up. But I guess twofold, we now know what the market is for Cooper Kupp. We saw what Amari Cooper went for. We saw what DeAndre Hopkins went for. We saw what Davante Adams went for. The Rams are not getting a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp. You are not getting a second-round pick. But could you get a very similar deal to Davante Adams? Would a team give you a fourth that could be a third, a conditional pick? You absolutely can get that for Cooper Kupp if you're willing to eat a significant amount of money. So I think today is going to be the last day that we see Cooper Kupp play for the Rams. I think the Vikings beat them today. I think they lose. The Rams are 2-5. Teams kind of come looking around. They're making calls about DeMarcus Robinson, calls about Tutu Atwell, calls about Cooper Kupp. And with this extended period, I think we find out somewhere over the next 5 days that Cooper Kupp has played his last game for the Los Angeles Rams. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We don't have to spend too much time on this. Did you guys see the story that the WNBA is thinking of expanding? And one of the cities that has reached out about expansion for the WNBA is Kansas City. Rob, I was trying to think of this, and I don't have a good answer to this question. Is Kansas City one of the few cities in America that I think would better support a WNBA team than an NBA team? I think the WNBA could do really, really well here. Now, it depends on where you're going to play. I don't think they would do very well at T-Mobile Center. Venue's too big, concert dates. I don't think T-Mobile Center actually would want the WNBA for most of their games. Maybe some of the bigger games, you play Caitlin Clark, you play Angel Reese, we'll put those games there. I don't think that would be their sort of forever home. But I actually think the WNBA here, if priced effectively, I think would do really well in Kansas City. The Current are doing really well. Like, Kansas City supports women's soccer that doesn't have the star power that women's college basketball has now at this point. You're talking about Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers is on the way, Juju Watkins is on the way, there's other stars. I actually think the WNBA could do pretty decent in Kansas City if they're a viable option for WNBA expansion.
I don't disagree with you, but because I read that same story and I thought to myself, I think the WNBA would do really well in Kansas City. And maybe the only other market where that's the case is Vegas, although I think the NBA would do okay in Vegas.
The NBA would do really well in
but
Vegas.
But I know for a fact the Aces are doing incredible.
They are. Yeah. But to be fair, though, for the Aces, people that haven't been there, like, their venue seats 4,000 people. Yeah. So, like, Vegas is one of those places they have just so many venues that they play in Mandalay Bay. And they move the big games to the T-Mobile Arena where they have all those USC events, fights, all that kind of stuff. Is there a venue that you think would make sense for a WNBA team? Because I'm trying to think of, would they play at Municipal? Is Municipal a place that you would want to have an expansion WNBA team? That's the right size, I think, for a venue. But there's not a lot of places I think would make sense consistently for a women's WNBA team. And I think that that's going to be their biggest hurdle.
Do you know what the answer probably is? The answer is probably a small new venue. Because, like, let's be honest.
Where's that going? Who's paying for it?
Those are the reasons why I don't think the WNBA is ever coming. Because let's be honest about Municipal. It's a historic building. It's all the stuff Kansas Cityans rave about. Is it a venue that you would be happy to have a 2024 or later event in? It's old. It needs really massive renovation or just move on as far as hosting professional sports. So T-Mobile's too big. Municipal's too old. You probably need to build a new facility similar to Mandalay Bay, not the, you know, casino part, but the holds 5,000 to 8,000, similar to how they did with the Current. Remember, the Current became an expansion franchise, and they were playing at Sporting Park, they were playing at Community America, and they were doing okay, but they had empty seats. They got their own building built. If the WNBA is going to come here, I think ownership would need to show in some form or fashion, yo, we're getting you a new building eventually.
This is a really good idea, and I did forget about this text line. Great job coming out with it. Independence Event Center is probably the size.
But I still think they're going to want a new venue eventually.
I also would say, and I hate to admit this as a Missourian, it probably needs to be in Kansas if it's going to work. Probably needs to be in Kansas. A small new venue in Kansas to me makes a lot of sense for the WNBA. It makes a lot of sense.
Put it next to New Arrowhead.
See, this is what I mean. We all
That's a thing that could be coming to
we're
Kansas.
We're having a good conversation, and that's how you got to do it.
I honestly mean this as a Kansan, I will say this. If you built all the construction in Kansas is going south, like south. There's this big new, you know, sports building for youth sports going down 159th. If you put it on 159th Street, are people coming? Like, I think people from 159th are more likely to go downtown to watch an event than someone downtown like you out to come to 159th and watch WNBA. So
but
I hear you say about Kansas, but I worry.
There's other places in the city that I would be kind of interested in. I'm really trying to think. I think it's a very interesting topic. I genuinely think the WNBA could work in Kansas City far more than I think the NBA could work. I just think the leagues are different. I don't think the NBA could work in Kansas City. The WNBA to me would make a lot of sense. And I think the league is, I think it is on the cusp of breaking through. I think this was a big year for the league. They're about to get a new television deal. I think it's going to be structured a little bit differently than the way that it currently is. I think you add another four markets to it. I think you really got something. I genuinely believe that I think a revolution is happening in women's sports. I think we have seen it over the course of the last couple of years, and I think it is just, in terms of growth in this country, there's not much growth for men's sports anymore. The NFL cannot be much bigger than what it already is. Major League Baseball is not going to be much bigger than what it already is. Your best chance for growth, if you're ESPN or one of those leagues, it's in women's sports. It's been underserved basically our entire life. Think about it. There is one venue in America that was designed specifically for women's sports. One. in the entire country. Think about how many venues there are dedicated to men's sport. There's one in the entire country that is dedicated to our women's sports. That is a market that if you continue to pump resources into it the way that they have started to, it could work. It could work. I saw something a couple days ago. Gambling on the WNBA jumped 150% last year. 150%. It's a big jump. It took a lot of jumps this year in the WNBA.
I mean, if they keep pumping out stars in college sports,
yeah,
then it will continue to grow.
I'm with you.
They have it this year with Beckers and Juju. They better find the next couple stars in college basketball. And that's not me trying to diminish women's sports. I agree with you. We're in the revolution. But if it goes back to just regular women's college sports, the growth of WNBA might plateau.
Someone on the text line says, "C-Dot, you're underselling the feasibility of a WNBA or of an NBA team in Kansas City." Bro, y'all voted against the Royals and the Chiefs. No. I'm sorry. No. Kansas City is not supporting another professional team. No, I'm sorry. No. It's not going down. All right. Back again tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a normal Red Friday. Keep it right here. It's the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.